It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Please enjoy one of our favorite episodes from the Just archive of over 500 plus shows. Just will be back with brand new content next week. For 7 billion people in the world, we all have one thing in common. Every day, we all get dressed.
Welcome to Dressed, the History of Fashion, a podcast where we explore the who, what, when of why we wear. We are fashion historians and your hosts, April Callahan
and Cassidy Zachary. Well, Halloween was just yesterday, and on the heels of our Fashion That Kills episode, April and I wanted to cover another decidedly morbid topic. In fact, we thought it would be fun to dissect the flapper.
Well, I mean, not literally, of course, but it is going to be fun to take apart this iconic 1920s lady apart piece by piece from the top of her bobbed head of hair all the way down to her dancing feet. But first, what exactly is a flapper and where did she come from? You might think you know the answer to this, but what we have to share with you today may just surprise you.
Right, because the so-called flapper is most often characterized as the 1920s phenomenon, representative of a new type of fashion-forward, free-spirited, modern young woman that emerged in the post-World War I era. And to this day, she really embodies the zeitgeist and excitement of the roaring 20s, an era that's defined by this unbridled pursuit of an indulgence in entertainment and extravagance.
However, despite popular opinion, Cass, the term did not originate in the 1920s. Although some narratives will tell you that it came from the 1920s as a fashion trend for unfastened rubber boots that quote unquote flapped when the wearers walked, this is actually not the case. And we're going to quote one of our favorite fashion historians, Claire Sorrow. She once wrote about the flapper saying, quote, "Despite this potent imagery, the word has its origins in 16th century British slang. Deriving from the colloquial flap, the word indicated a young female prostitute and likely referred to the awkward flapping of a young bird's wings when learning to fly." Claire goes on to assure us that, quote, "by the 19th century, the term had lost most of its lewd connotations."
So to find out exactly when the term gained its contemporary associations with the jazz age poster girl, we naturally started sleuthing in the online archives. It's what we do best on Dressed. And I found one answer in the form of a Harper's Bazaar article entitled "Dressing the Flapper," which reads, quote, "The awkward age has long been the despair of mothers who wish to dress their girls becomingly. Today, the designers are paying special attention to the flapper."
Wait, what? That's not exactly describing our, you know, fun-loving it girl of the 1920s. Now, is it awkward?
No. And actually, that article dates to 1915. And at this point, the term flapper, well, it refers more to a teenager or even a preteen. You know, the girl that embodies that Britney Spears song, "I'm not a girl.
Oh, no.
Not yet a woman.
No Britney on Dressed.
All I need is time." I could go on, but I won't.
Well, you said that article was from 1915. And if we're going to judge by the huge spike in advertisements and articles from around World War I, 1915 to 1919, that are suddenly addressing the clothing needs of these young flappers, clothing manufacturers and designers had discovered that there was a lot of money to be made in what was then an entirely untapped market.
wrote the New York Times in 1917, "It is a long time since the spirit of youth has been any better depicted than in the garments for misses and juniors that are now being shown in the market. Garments for the quote-unquote flapper, which is the title given to young girls of the awkward age." There it is again, that word awkward. Awkward and flapper are just not two words I would normally equate with one another.
No, you usually think of extreme elegance. So when did quote-unquote flappers make the transition from awkward preteen girls to free-spirited fashion icons? And why? Well, one answer might lie in a 1919 Women's Wear Daily article. This article expressly defines the flapper as a girl aged 12 to 16 years of age and even illustrates her for you. We see in this article four stylish young flappers being depicted. They're smiling, they're carrying on with their fashionably dressed mothers in tow. But Cass, these young flappers all wear dresses that barely skim their knees, and two of them, well, they have even short bobbed hair.
Aha! That is two characteristic 1920s flapper traits, and in 1919 no less. Mm-hmm. In fact, just 1 month prior, the same magazine had declared, quote, "flappers receiving more attention than ever before." Indeed, these junior flappers were becoming a pervasive reality of the clothing industry, and it was really only a matter of time before someone would ascribe this term also to the young modern woman who emerged in the post-World War I era. I mean, she was wearing the same short skirts and bobbed hair after all. But this is really where the similarities between the two end, because this new woman was no longer a girl dependent on her mother to pick her clothing. And far from awkward, she was fun-loving, she was independent, and she was ready to throw tradition and moral turpitude to the wind in a flare of fringe, feathers, and shocking dance moves.
Oh, yes. And quote, "unspeakable jazz must go," read the headline of one particular 1921 article in Ladies' Home Journal, which goes on to say, "it is worse than saloon and scarlet vice," testify professional dance experts. "Only a few cities are curbing evil." Jazz being the evil here, of course. But the flapper, American jazz burst onto the post-World War I era like a torpedo. And it was really a death knell for any of these staid old practices of a bygone era. It was fast-paced, it was exciting, and to many people, it was downright terrifying because it inspired racy dance moves that shocked polite taste. Quote, "the high society flapper is still going the limit," continues the article. "She drinks, she swears, she smokes, toddles, and chatters stories that once belonged to the men's smoke room. You can't reform a society flapper." And Cass, I mean, who would want to? She sounds like super fun. I want to hang out with her.
I know, absolutely. And you know, a lot happened in the 1910s to facilitate the emergence of this new type of woman. Nothing happens in a vacuum. World War I lasted from 1914 to 1918, and with so many young men around the world called to service, women entered the workforce en masse. Not to mention that in America, women were also marching for the right to vote, which they earned with the ratification of the 19th Amendment in 1920. And if you think about how the miniskirt of the 1960s emerged in tandem with the birth control pill, well, women were just suddenly experiencing this newfound freedom and power that they just had not had before. Dress listeners, we know from experience that getting started investing can feel confusing. Especially with so many options out there, many people tend to put it off. But it does not need to be intimidating.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. And you don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you.
Acorns offers a learning platform for anyone wanting to learn more about investing strategies and also offers ESG portfolios, which invest your money in companies rated for their impact on environment, social, and governance issues, something that you know we love on Dressed.
So what are you waiting for? Head to acorns.com/dressed or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing in your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/trust. Ladies, are you finding yourself a bit off or experiencing cravings or bloating? Well, these are potential symptoms of PMS or menopause, and Hormone Harmony is here to help.
Hormone Harmony is capsule-based and contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body to adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's truly become a phenomenon. With 17,000 reviews, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
You too can join the more than 2 million happy Hormone Harmony customers. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DRESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DRESSED for 15% off today.
Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize.
Yes, so many wonderful products, and that even includes baby board books, which is something that I recently personalized for my 2-year-old son, Leo, who loves to read. And I titled the book A Boy Named Leo. And the best part is that it all comes illustrated with some of my favorite pictures of him by himself and with family and friends. It really is such a sweet, unique, and special commemoration of our life together thus far, and something we will all cherish forever.
Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Dress listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use the code DRESSED through December 31st.
It's also worth noting that clothing was modernized pre-World War I, as we have discussed in our Birth of the Modern episode. So some women were getting rid of their corsets. Skirts were already beginning to become shorter in 1914. I mean, the professional dancer Irene Castle, she bobbed her hair in 1915. So time was ripe for change. And in the devastating aftermath of the war, the world had changed. And so too had women.
By 1922, this new breed of young, free-spirited women had co-opted the flapper term away from their junior counterparts. As made clear in this 1922 New York Times article, the differences between the two were actually night and day. The junior flapper, quote, had none of the assurance, none of the independence, none of the defiance of social laws, none of the freedom with those of the opposite sex, none of the scorn for parental advice, none of the derision for respectability, none of the daring in dress, none of the imperviousness to criticism, which has made the American flapper a byword.
Mm-hmm. And so pervasive an archetype had the flapper become, both as a point of intrigue and also controversy, that the Arizona Prescott Journal felt the need to break down the flapper for its readership, or flapper style, I should really say, on the very front page. In fact, this particular article, which is from August 1922, this is the one that inspired this episode today. So there is a photograph of a quote-unquote flapper, and each piece of her outfit is literally numbered and described. So, shall we, Cass?
We shall. Under the title, Typical Flappers reads, you've often heard them called that, but did you ever really understand what it meant? This will straighten you out. It's a picture of a flapper, 100% from head to foot. April, according to this newspaper, which I am just going to say that it might not be the most reliable source of up-to-date fashion information.
The Arizona Prescott Journal was not the end-all be-all.
The flapper has 13 qualifications. So the first of which is her hat of soft silk or felt. And while this hat featured here is small, it is not the ubiquitous cloche hat we associate with 1920s fashion. However, 1922 was the year that the cloche emerged as the fashion staple of a woman's wardrobe, but not one yet adopted by this particular flapper.
And number two would, of course, be the bobbed hair, and definitely one of the most abrupt breaks from the past, which the new modern women had adopted. As we previously mentioned, celebrities such as Irene Castle had bobbed their hair in years prior. But for centuries before that, a woman's long locks were synonymous with her respectability. And only young girls and teenagers could really get away with wearing their hair down. Older women were expected to wear their hair up. And for many, this was a burden, something that had to be given much time and much care every single day. And this new modern woman, well, she didn't have time for such frivolities.
No, she did not. She had a lot of dancing to do.
That's right.
The article follows bobbed hair with a series of seemingly ordinary clothing items, other than the fact that quote unquote flapper has been inserted in front of them. So number three is the flapper curl, which is on the forehead. It's a small curl peeking out from beneath the hat, the hat's brim on the woman's forehead. Number four is the flapper collar, which is to me just a normal flat collar. And number five, flapper earrings. These are dangly earrings, quite large and long, and they really are made all the more noticeable by her short hair.
And I'm going to have to agree with what you said earlier, Cass, and reiterate, this is clearly an outsider's view of a flapper. The author of this article is almost treating this archetypal woman as like a foreign or scientific oddity to be studied, or in our case, dissected. But moving on to number six, a slip over sweater. Knitwear was certainly a staple of the modern woman's wardrobe at this time, you know, something pioneered by fashion designers such as Coco Chanel and Jean Patou. And it was very relaxed, it's more comfortable, and women were wearing it more and more.
Unadorned and unfussy, this particular sweater was the perfect blank canvas for number seven, flapper beads. In other words, a long necklace that extends to the waist where it meets number eight, a metallic belt. And this is situated not at the wearer's natural waist, of course, but at a lowered waistline that would only continue to lower and drop throughout the decade, sometimes disappearing altogether in the boxy shift dress that is synonymous with this era.
Number nine, a bracelet of strung jet. Number 10, a knee-length fringe skirt. And yes, one of the most controversial elements of the flapper wardrobe was the short skirt. Today, knee length hardly seems revealing to us, but in 1922, it was the shortest skirt had ever been in history. And if that wasn't shocking enough, Cass, number 11 were the exposed bare knees. I mean, talk about thwarting convention. And for extra emphasis, flappers were even rumored to rouge their knees.
But not to worry, this flapper's legs weren't entirely exposed, because number 12 is rolled hose with a fancy garter. Although to show your garter must have been incredibly shocking, this is underwear being worn as outerwear. But the most daring of flappers, well, they would have done away with stockings entirely.
And one of the reasons, just so you know, for the rolled stockings was because when they were dancing, they would fall down. So they would just go ahead and roll them down and attach their garter with them like that beforehand. So it became part of their style. And that really kind of takes us to the end of our dissection, Cass. We're going to end with number 13, the flat-heeled little girl sandals. And not something we might typically associate with the flapper stereotype today, but something that certainly emphasized the perceived youthfulness of the flapper appearance. I have to say, Cass, that was super fun. Even if that article might not have given us the entire picture, a flapper was defined as much by her attitude and her lifestyle as by her dress, but it still gives us a pretty good idea of the intrigue surrounding this type of young woman that broke the mold.
Yeah, and it's an intrigue that obviously continues to fascinate us to this day. That the flapper remains synonymous with the 1920s speaks to our ongoing fascination with an exciting era bookended by a devastating war and the Great Depression. And the flapper, well, she was very much a woman of her time, and yet she still resonates with us almost 100 years later, a fact that speaks not only to her aesthetic appeal, but to the continued admiration for women who threw their cares to the wind and embraced what it meant to be unapologetically confident, fun-loving, and independent, which is a lesson I think we can all appreciate today.
Yes, I certainly do. And that does it for us today, dress listeners. Until next time, may you embrace your inner flapper next time you get dressed. Remember, we love hearing from you. So if you'd like to write to us, you can do so at hello@dressedhistory.com, or you can also DM us on Instagram @dressed_podcast, which is of course where you'll find reels and posts accompanying each week's episodes. We get so many questions from you all about our recommendations for fashion history books. So if you're interested, you can always find a link in our show notes to our bookshop bookshelf. So that address is bookshop.org/shop/dressed. And there you can find over 150 of our favorite fashion history titles.
You can also find a link to that in our show notes, where you can find a link to dressedhistory.com, which of course is our website, where you can check out our latest offerings from the Dressed universe. That includes our classes and our tours. So head on over to dressedhistory.com and see what we have up our sleeves. Love Dressed but want to skip the ads? Consider subscribing to our ad-free version of the show for just $3 a month and enjoy our 8 new episodes a month ad-free. That does it for us today, Dressed listeners. Thank you as always for tuning in, and more Dressed coming your way very soon. Dressed, the History of Fashion, is a production of Dressed Media.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.